Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We have merch. Check out the AmericanGlutton.net shop. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, hats, and more. A number of people have come up to me wearing American Glutton merch, and nothing fills my heart with more pride than seeing somebody in one of these t-shirts. And I've been stopped on the street and asked where to get it when somebody sees me in an American Glutton hoodie. Well, you can get it all at the shop on AmericanGlutton.net. And my favorite t-shirt, Yesterday It Was Tomorrow, Right Now, is up now. Get it while supplies last.
Hi, I'm Ethan Suplee. Welcome to American Glutton. Outside of acting, my two favorite things to do are diet and eat. I have a very complicated relationship with food, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about all of it. Food as entertainment. Food as sport. Food as fuel. I'll talk to experts and the average person, just like you and me.
I hate to ask you to do anything, but if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to like, subscribe, rate, review, all of the above on whatever app you're getting it from. My guest today is John David Gloud. He is a certified nutrition coach, and he just wants to help people lose weight. He's had a miraculous transformation himself and kept it off now for 11 years. You can find him on Instagram or YouTube at Obese2Beast. John Gloud, welcome to the American Glutton Podcast.
I am happy to be back.
Welcome be back. Did I say back? Welcome back to the America. This is the third one. This is awesome.
Third one. Yeah, I know. I'm very happy to be back. So thank you for having me again.
Dude, I'm excited to talk to you. You know, I'm sure you know stats of like weight loss and more importantly, keeping weight loss off. Like that's, I think a lot of people can lose weight. Not many can keep it off. How long have you kept your weight off?
It's been 11 years. Well, I would say 10 years that I've kept it off because I lost it in about a year and a half and I'm 30. I lost it when I was 20. I'm 31 now. So it's 10, 11 years.
So awesome, dude.
Yeah.
What's the secret sauce?
I wish there was like a simple answer to that question. For me, like, I think one of the biggest things has been finding fitness that I enjoy. And that is something that changes very frequently. I go through lots of different interests. I don't know if that's just my personality or if it's just because I have ADD as I just grabbed this fidget thing that I was about to start spinning. I get very hyper focused on things. And for me, luckily, a lot of those things have been fitness related. And so I do think that that's been a really big help, along with a myriad of other things that you've talked about, I would say frequently on the podcast, as far as like diet is concerned, because I do think diet is, especially for losing weight, very, very important. And I think for keeping it off, it's also as important, but I think it like switches is my best way to explain it. Like, when I was first losing the weight, I was very much so like the diet like overtook my life. And I don't mean that in a bad way per se, but it almost had to because
it was the main focus.
Yeah. It was like all I thought about. Right. And I think I had to be like that because for so long in my life, it was a focus, but in the opposite way. Like, yeah. It was like, what am I going to eat? What am I going to have? When are we going to eat? Can I have some of that? And like, I had family that didn't like to eat around me because I would be just staring at them. Like, can I have some? Can I have some, you know? And so I think like at that time, diet became this thing that I thought about all the time. And I would say where I'm at now, 11 years later, I don't think about it as much, but I think it's because of things that I have set up almost unintentionally to be successful. Yeah. And so like, you know, things that I eat, I have similar meals very frequently, stuff like that, where I'm not thinking about food. And so I'm not feeling like, oh, I messed up. And because I feel like if I was always thinking like, oh, I messed up or I shouldn't have had that, that would just be so much mental strain on me that would be really hard to deal with. So I don't really think in terms of what's good and what's bad. I just feel like over the years, I've learned what works for me. And I naturally go to the things that work for me because I want to feel good. And you know, that's like something that's really important to me. I want to be able to feel good when I wake up in the morning or during the day. So I'm not going to gorge myself on food. But then also, I do allow myself to have things that are fun. And I don't beat myself up over it to a point where I think it's unhealthy. Because I do think that it's important to allow yourself to have certain things. And I think that that's something that I'm going on such a rant. But
no, I fucking love it, dude.
This is what I do. But I think it's important at the start to maybe like, this is something I learned over time. And so like, this is a lot of the stuff I talk about now is, you know, it's 10 years post weight loss. And so, you know, these are things that took a long time. And I feel like sometimes I'll be talking to someone about this and I can almost like see their eyes glaze over because they're just like, dude, I'm nowhere near that. And I get it. Trust me. I understand what it's like when you're first wanting to lose weight, feeling like thinking that you're always going to be thinking about your diet and thinking about food and missing the food that you used to eat and all this stuff, right? Like, I know what that's like, but I promise, like, if you find something that works for you and you stick to it long enough, that feeling will dissipate. Like, will it go away completely? I don't know. I can't speak for everyone. I can say for me, pretty much it has. But yeah, so like, I allow myself to have those things. And what I've always said, and this is an analogy that I actually did come up with. I'm very proud of it. So I'm not sure how good it is because I did come up with it, but it's, you hear a lot of people say, I fell off the wagon, right? That's like a saying a lot of people say, you know, that I fell off the wagon. And I always say, okay, you're driving the wagon. And so if you fall off it, the wagon stops. You just get back on and you keep going. But a lot of people, like, they fall off the wagon and they sprint backwards. They're like, well, it's gone. Like, they're on a hill and the wagon has left, right? If you, quote unquote, fall off the wagon or you have a meal that maybe isn't the best, basically what I'm trying to say with that analogy is what's more important is how you react to that situation instead of, oh my gosh, everything's over. I might as well just have, you know, I might as well keep eating this stuff. Just be like, okay, you know what? That maybe that wasn't the best decision, or maybe you decide, you know, I'm okay with that decision that I made and learn from that. Decide, okay, if it wasn't a decision you wanted to make, think to yourself, what led to that? You know, what series of events? Were you not eating enough? Were you at a party and you maybe just whatever, right? Just think about it, try and learn from it and then move on from there. But I don't know, like when it comes to like the secret, I really wish there was, and I'm sure I wish there was because I would love to be able to bottle it up and give it to people. But it's one of those things that I do think for each person, it's going to be individual and of how you find what works for you. Because the sad fact of the matter is, yeah, like you said at the very beginning of the podcast, and I've said this before too, and I feel like people, they almost like get annoyed, but it's like, losing weight is relatively easy compared to keeping it off. Like, we don't have a problem, I think, in America of like being able to lose weight. I think a lot of people have been able to lose weight, right? It's about keeping that weight off. And that's, to me, a lot more intriguing. And like, how do we help people do that? That's kind of where I'm at now with like the content that I make. How do I help?
It's a weird thing because when I was very overweight, it was all just, I just need to lose weight. That was my sole focus. And then I kept waking up needing to lose weight and going, but wait, I lost this weight. I did this already. Why am I doing this again? I have questions about your process.
Okay.
And I have two. I want to get to eating fun stuff, but first I want to ask you, when you're super focused on food and getting into maintenance, how long, and you said basically you're not super focused on food right mm-hmm. now. That's like secondary to what you're doing physically active stuff. Mm-hmm. What was that like? That was it hyper-focused for a few years? Was mm-hmm. it a year of solid dedicated work? What was it? And I'm assuming you just kind of created a habitual lifestyle that you then are sticking to. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say like 100%. So I guess to kind of like, I'll just take you through my journey, right? My eating journey. But like, you know, growing up, obviously I just ate whatever, right? Like that's how I got to where I was. So for those that might not know, I was like at my heaviest. I've always said 360 pounds, but I think it was probably heavier, but we've all been there. We didn't weigh ourselves, right? And so around that, maybe closer to 400 pounds at 20 years old. So that was my highest weight. And when I first started losing weight, I literally knew as little as you can about nutrition. Like I was not like, I've met some people. I had a friend of mine that he was very large, but people would call him like a personal trainer because he knew everything you had to do, but right. He just wouldn't do it. Right. He would even say it himself. Right. I was not that guy. I was the opposite. I knew nothing. If you asked me what a carb was, what a calorie was, I had literally no idea. Right. And so that's where I started. And so what I did was I decided to start what I call the common sense diet. And because I was never the person that lost a significant amount of weight and then gained the weight back, which I am happy about. But obviously at the time, it was very frustrating because I felt like I was a complete and abject failure at losing weight. Like this, literally.
Because it was slow?
I literally couldn't do it. Like right. Before this time being successful, I the most weight I lost was maybe 10 pounds. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like there has to be something wrong with me, right? It was like a foregone conclusion. It wasn't like maybe there is. In my mind, there absolutely was, but I just don't know what it is, right? That's how I felt because I tried everything. I later learned out I did not, but I felt like I tried everything. I've talked about this before, but I remember my mom, somehow we got a case of Slim Fast. So like growing up, we were very poor. So like, this was like a big deal, right? I don't know how she got it. I think it was like for work. And so I was like, okay, Slim Fast. I was a child at the time and I was already trying to lose weight. You know, I think I was in junior high. And so I was like, all right, Slim Fast. So I would eat basically the same stuff, but I'd also drink a Slim Fast. Right. And so in reality, I'm eating more calories, wondering why I'm not losing weight. But like that was me before I actually was successful. And so, And looking back, I realized everything maybe not the Slim Fast thing, but everything else I would try, it was always way too intense. I would go way too hard at the start and I would see a little bit results, but I would jump off of it so quickly that those results were so minuscule that I wouldn't see enough results for it to capture me like it did in the time that I was successful. So when I first started losing weight, this time that it was successful, I did what I call the common sense diet. And so my diet at the time was basically almost exclusively fast food, junk food. I drank a lot of soda, like 2 liters of soda a day. It was just like, I would say the typical American diet, but then like on, like maybe on steroids, if you want to use that, you know, that term. But it was like, I ate when me and my friends would go to McDonald's. And this was when the value menu was actually a dollar. Things were a dollar. Now I've looked at McDonald's. I'm like, wow, that's crazy how much more it is. But I would get 2 McDoubles, 2 McChickens, a large fry and a large drink. And then sometimes I would also get chicken nuggets and the different dipping sauces. Right. And I would think to myself, why am I so large and my friends aren't? Because they're also eating McDonald's or fast food. Right. But I didn't compute the fact that they're eating maybe a third of the amount that I was. So that was my diet at the start. And so I did the common sense diet. Sorry, I'm getting sidetracked again. And so for me, the common sense diet was no more soda, no more junk food, no more fast food. And that, again, this is coming from someone that knew nothing about nutrition, but I was like, these are things, regardless of how much you know or not, most people would agree, if you're trying to lose weight, that's probably a good thing to cut out. Right. And so that's what I did at the start. And I would go to Vaughn's, which is a grocery store here, and I would get like pre-made sandwiches, or I would buy my own sandwiches and make them. But a lot of times I would eat like two sandwiches. And my mom was always my biggest supporter. But again, she didn't know much about nutrition either. So she'd see the sandwiches I'm eating and she's like, John David, my family calls me John David. Do you think that, you know, eating that much bread is good for your weight loss? And I was like, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it's better than what I was eating before. And so sandwiches became actually quite a big staple, and I still eat them very frequently. But that's kind of how it started. It started off really what I would say pretty healthily, really good. But eventually it did become not healthy. And I eventually kind of started struggling with binge eating because then I did start to learn about calories and what they were. And instead of really understanding them, what it turned into in my mind was calories are evil and the devil, and I need to avoid them at all costs, right? And so then once I started learning about calories, I basically turned that into, okay, now I need to learn how to avoid them as much as I can. And at this point, I was eating, like I was working two jobs at the time, and I was eating like anywhere from 700 to 1,000 calories a day. And wow. Yeah, one of my jobs, I was working at the Van shoe store, and then I actually got a job at Vaughn's. And I was working in the meat department where you had to like lift up these like 50 at minimum. They were 50 pounds of frozen meat, but a lot of times they'd be heavier. That was a really hard time in my life because every time I would stand up, I would be lightheaded because I wasn't eating enough. Right. And so it did become very, I would say dangerous, but I got very scared at this moment because when I was at this point in my weight loss, I had lost a pretty significant amount of weight. But at this point was when I felt the most out of control. And like, there is a very serious chance that I'm going to gain the weight back. And yeah. I think it stemmed from feeling out of control. That feeling like we were talking about earlier, where it was like, there's no way I can keep this up. Like I can do it for a little bit, but there's no way I can keep it up. And I actually,
when you're done, life is fucking scary. When I'm done, what do I have? I have exactly. No tools. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. And I used to joke with my best friend, and he would even say stuff like, are you eating enough? Like, do you think that's healthy? And I'd be like, once I lose the weight, I'll figure it out. And if I heard that from someone that maybe I was like working with or having a conversation with, I'd be like, that's a huge red flag. That is not a good way to go about it. That's why I always say, like, I feel very lucky that I was able to figure this stuff out. Obviously I put in work, but I always think there's a little bit of luck involved in life. And so, but I, you know, at this point, terrified of gaining the weight back, just feeling like there's no way I can keep this up. And then at this point, I was actually, this was before I had started like Obese to Beast, the stuff that I do now. And so I was kind of lost in life at this time. I didn't really know what I was going to do. I went to college for a year. And I majored in music, but I couldn't read music, so that didn't work out. And so I dropped out, and I was kind of just working a job, you know, just a regular job. And I was feeling a little lost, so I was like thinking about maybe joining the military. And so I started reading more up on that, and I realized, okay, if I really want to join, I'm going to have to be at least a little physically fit, because yeah, I had lost a lot of weight, but I wasn't really working out, like lifting at all. And I knew I'd have to be able to do, you know, some push-ups, some pull-ups, maybe some sit-ups, you know, and I was like, I don't even know if I could do any of that stuff. So then I started working out. And then that's when, around this time as well, is when I did start like the Obese to Beast brand, right? I didn't think of it as a brand at the time. It was more just, I literally felt very bad about posting so much stuff on my regular Instagram. So I was like, I'll make another Instagram. And I was like, what's the name? Obese to Beast sounds cool. And so that's how that started. And so then I kind of like started working out and started lifting, and it didn't resolve itself, but I realized I was a lot hungrier. Yeah. And around this time I was starting to learn about macros, which, you know, carbs, fats, and proteins, started to learn about how to build muscle, and I started to implement those things. And so now I'm eating a little bit more, still not enough, I don't think, but I'm eating a little bit more. I'm eating enough protein, and things started to get a little bit better. I wasn't binging as often because it started to become like basically every 3 or 4 days I would have a binge. And so again, that feeling of out of being out of control would just was just heightened, right? And so then I started learning about that stuff, and I started feeling more confident and more confident. And then I got really involved in the, I guess you could call it like bodybuilding or just physique, like changing your physique scene on YouTube, which was really blowing up at the time as well. And I really started to learn about macros and how to track them and all of that stuff. So then I started implementing those things, and it really, really helped me a lot, because understanding what was in foods made it to where it was no longer this mystical, mystifying thing that I didn't understand. Like, I started to understand how many calories are in certain things, and you know, the macro breakdowns of certain things. And through tracking for, I tracked for a few years, that again gave me the confidence to eventually no longer track. And so like, I haven't tracked for many years at this point, but you know, going back. So then I ended up, I'm trying to shorten this as much as I can. I ended up competing in a physique show in 2016, where I had to track like literally everything. I had a really good friend of mine, Brian, who made YouTube videos. He was like already kind of doing bodybuilding stuff. He helped me with that as well. He was basically my coach. He taught me a lot about this stuff. And so I tracked meticulously in 2016. But I remember I was like, I didn't enjoy really tracking. I never really did. I like numbers and math. I always hated it. And so I didn't enjoy it, but I saw how beneficial it was. And I understood like, this isn't very fun, but it's definitely something that I'm learning a lot through. So I stuck it out, you know, and I did my physique show in 2016. But I remember I told myself like, I'm done tracking after the show, which was kind of scary, because something that happens with people that aren't even people that have lost a lot of weight after physique shows or bodybuilding shows is the rebound, which is like you gain a ton of weight afterwards. And I was like genuinely terrified, because I almost felt like it's inevitable that it's going to happen. Yeah. But I felt like I cannot let that happen, because, you know, my YouTube channel had started growing. Like, I had a viral video that went super huge about my loose skin. Like, all of these other things were happening. And I felt like almost obligated to my audience to show people that, like, it's, you can do it. You can do a physique show without rebounding. And so thankfully I was able to do that. I never had some significant, you know, weight regain. But I think looking back, I struggle with it, because I don't want to ever sound like I'm some sort of like hater of bodybuilding or physique shows, but I always struggle with, I see a lot of people that are coming from the extreme that I did. Like, this is the example that I set. So I feel like a sort of guilt about this, but like, because a lot of people saw what I did and they want to do it themselves, but I've just seen so many people, like, it breaks you, because yeah, it is incredibly hard. And like, I was able to do it, I feel, because I worked hard, yes, but I was very lucky that I my job was YouTube at the time. I had all the support. I had, you know, thousands of people that were watching the videos, and I had this like this aura of support that just doesn't happen if you're just a guy that's working a 9-to-5 and you happen to lose a lot of weight. And so I have a lot more respect for people that do that than personally I have like for what I did. Like, I'm very proud of myself, but it's a lot harder when you have, you know, a regular 9-to-5 or, and you have kids, and it's just a completely different beast. Right. But I digress. And so I did the show, and then I stopped tracking. I was terrified, but I was able to get through it, and through tracking. And eventually I just was able to, this wasn't something that I did cognitively, I don't think, but I started to eat similar foods throughout the day. These are what I call staple meals. Other people call them staple meals, and enjoying them. And like, it's not like I feel like I have to, it's just one, I don't want to have to plan other things out. So it's easier when I go shopping, I buy the same stuff every time. Right. And I get, not everyone can do that. Okay. I always say like, I don't know if there's something weird with me, but like, I can eat the same food all the time. And it really doesn't bother me.
Me too.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I really don't mind at all. Like, I'll eat my protein oatmeal every morning and literally not complain or care. It's just like, for me, it's just like, yeah, it's sustenance. And you know, I like how it tastes. And for me, it's like the odd times that I do go out to eat or that I do have like a fun meal, like, it's enough for me. Like, that's enough variety to where I'm like, all right. And then the rest of the week I can have the same things. But so then I started to build that you know, that repertoire, like that kind of those staple meals. And I always say, like, what I do now is mindful eating. So there's a big thing called intuitive eating that's kind of everywhere. I think that term comes with a little bit of baggage.
Dude, listen, like, I gotta tell you, I fucking hated when I first read this about years ago, intuitive eating. I was like, these morons, you want to tell me just to sense my way through eating? I don't know. My body doesn't know what's happening. Like, there's no cues. The cues have, I have to like send a signal to my brain saying like, no, I saw how much you ate. That's enough. That's my version of intuitive. But I will say, just to your point, I like, once you kind of are doing it, you have to step back and admit it. Like, oh, I get it. I get what they're talking about. Yeah. I don't think for people who were in the condition we were in, it's a day one thing. I just don't.
Yeah, I agree.
It requires more work than that.
I agree 100%. When someone, this intuitive eating, I'm not going to use a specific person, but this is the archetype that I've seen. This intuitive eating coach that has never been more than 150 pounds, telling a 500 pound person to just eat intuitively, because a lot of the thoughts are, the reason you're overweight is because of the shame you feel and the fact that you've tried so many diets. That's why you're overweight. Not because you like, you're eating whatever you want. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, I disagree respectfully. I intuitively ate myself to the size that I was.
So like, did I.
It was, and so I, that's why I just don't like using that term. It comes with some baggage. But like you said, that's basically what I do.
Yeah.
But the reason I call it mindful eating is because all of that stuff I learned over the years, it is in my brain. I'm not going to forget it, right? And so it informs the choices I make now. So if I'm out to eat, say I'm at a buffet, I'm going to intuitively or mindfully choose the things that are not going to be loaded in fat, like, and that are going to be more satiating. If there's fruit there, I'm going to actually have some, right? If there's a salad bar, why not have salad before the meal? Because it, like, and then I'm telling myself, I don't need to eat as much as possible. I'm not, dude, it's fine.
I always looked at the fruit on a buffet, you know, when I was a kid at Sizzler or something like that. It's all you can eat. And I'm going like,
who would eat that?
Sucker is eating fruit? Who's wasting space with fruit?
Dude, my family, like, we used to have this, like ritual that we would do every year at the last day of school. We would go to this place called Hometown Buffet. And for us growing up, that was very fancy. Okay. Like, it was, cause like I said, we didn't have much money. And so we didn't go out to eat almost ever. And so we would go there. And a lot of times there'd be like 15 of us. Cause my mom was always that mom that always welcomed more and more people. Like, it would just be a huge group of us. And we would spend hours at Hometown Buffet. Okay. Hours. And I would see the fruit and I'd be like, who would eat? Like, the closest I would get to the fruit was there'd be Jell-O next to the fruit and I'd have that, but then also put whipped cream on top. Right. And I'd think to myself, there's literally an ice cream machine over there that you can get as much ice cream as you want and no one's going to stop you. And there's brownies. You can put the brownie in the bottom and put the ice cream on top and then hot fudge on. Like, why would I have fruit?
Yeah.
But it's just like, but now I understand if I ate that, especially, I mean, I am getting older. I'm 31, right? I know I'm not super old, but I'm getting older. If I ate that, I would feel not great. Okay. So that is part of it though. Like, I think people discount that. Like, I think that's so important, is becoming aware of how certain foods make you feel and like genuinely taking stock in that. And I do feel like there is a certain level of, once you have maybe changed your diet up a little bit, you become more aware of how foods make you feel, because it's been a while for me, but I don't remember, say, going and getting like a California burrito or carne asada fries. And then after I'd eat it, I'd be like, oh my God, I feel terrible,
right?
Because it was so normal for me. And so I do think that like it did take a while even to get that, I guess you could call it a skill. And so, but yeah, like basically where I'm at now, it's, I call it mindful eating. I eat similar foods, but if I do go out to eat, I, I'll enjoy it. And even, and like, I just made a post like yesterday about a pizza that I'll make like once a week that it's not healthy. It's a regular pizza dough. Like it, there's nothing healthy about it, but I enjoy it and I want to eat it. And so it is what it is. Like, I don't beat myself up about it because I'm the one that's looking forward to making it and eating it. Right. And so that's how I
are you are me. You are you doing like a low fat mozzarella or low fat pepperoni or stuff like that? Like, is it really regular as you would make it when you were 19?
No, 100%.
You're shuffling some stuff around.
Yeah, 100%. That is true. But I will say, when I was 19, I literally didn't cook anything. So I wasn't even making a pizza. Right. If it was 19, it would be Hot Pockets that were frozen in the middle, but then molten lava in other parts, because I was impatient to recook it. But yeah, there's like certain things. It's literally exactly what you said. So it's the low fat mozzarella and then turkey pepperoni instead of regular pepperoni.
Which, by the way, super high in protein.
Yeah, super high in protein, low in fat. And maybe it's my tongue has been like transformed or whatever, but I don't really taste the difference. And then it is like a whole wheat dough. But the only reason, because every time I go to the freaking store, they don't have the regular dough, but they have the whole wheat one. I'm like, I guess I'll just grab this one. I can't really tell a difference too much. I would rather have the normal one. But yeah, so like there are certain things. And again, I think it's like, it's almost like I don't even see those things as compromises, because for me, it's just like, why not? It makes sense. Like, why would I not do that? Like, you know, make that change. Right.
Yeah. And so I want to ask you about this, but I want to just preface it a little bit with the enjoying your food, with the having stuff that is pleasurable, right? Mm-hmm. Because I try mostly to consider my food fuel, and I'm not having a party every time I eat. Yeah. Every time I eat is not a celebration, mm-hmm. but I also do occasionally go out to dinner, and occasionally I'll go like leave the sauce on my vegetables, you know, and that'll be me enjoying my food a little bit more. The thing that I used to get in trouble with, that I the only guardrail I stick up now with food is in quantities. So like what I used to do is similar to your order at fast food. 'Cause like today I could have a McDonald's cheeseburger, a small fries, and I would have a diet soda, and it wouldn't fuck my day up. That could be a meal. Mm-hmm. There's nothing about one McDonald's cheeseburger and a small fries that sounds super fun to me. I want the order you described. That's what sounds fun to me. You know, I want a whole large pizza and chicken wings. And if they happen to have garlic knots, I'll have that too. And consuming all of that is what kind of tickles some part of my brain when you're having these meals.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
growing up as a kid, my mom would never let us have real cereal. When I say real cereal, I mean the stuff that you'd find at a normal grocery store. My mom would get us the cardboard shavings at the health food store, and I was always miserable with my cereal. And then I would magically go to my friend's house, and they would have real cereal, and I would be so envious, and I would sit and eat bowl after bowl of delicious, frosted goodness, sugary, wonderful stuff. And then I grew up and I was able to buy my own cereal, but that lasted all of 2 minutes because then I started dieting, so cereal left my life entirely. Well, not anymore. Not anymore. Now there's Magic Spoon, which is high protein cereal. My favorite flavor is their peanut butter. It's incredible. Variety pack. Four flavors are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Only 140 calories a serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar, keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, and soy free. It's incredible. Go to magicspoon.com/glutton and grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code GLUTTON at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember, start your day off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/glutton and use the code GLUTTON to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. Not even that you're necessarily even regulating it now, but are quantities a factor?
I would say yes, but it's almost like I'm not aware of it. Like the pizza that I just described, I eat the whole thing. Like I use the whole dough ball. I eat the entire thing. It's probably like, you know, 1500, if not more calories. I honestly have never even tracked it because I don't really care that much.
Right.
But yeah, like I think I definitely, like for me, I like to have usually my largest meal is dinner. This is another thing that has helped me over time is I wouldn't claim that I do intermittent fasting, but I do to an extent where a lot of times, like my first meal will be basically every day it's protein oatmeal. So I'll have oats, protein powder, peanut butter, and then I actually put Greek yogurt on top of it. Some people think it's very strange, but I like it. It's kind of like different, like sweet, and then it's like cold and whatever. But so that's like a pretty high protein meal. And there is a good amount of calories in that. And then a lot of times for lunch lately, I'll just do a salad with chicken. And then dinner will be my largest meal because I do like to, like, it's still something in me that likes to feel very full, like not just satiated, but I want to go to bed full. And like the people that are like, oh yeah, I don't eat 7 hours before I go to sleep. I'm like, I don't know how you do that. All I would be thinking about is the fact that I'm hungry. And so I would say to an extent that is part of it. Like if I go to Chipotle, I always get extra rice. I always get double meat, and then I always get chips so I can dip the chips in it. And it's a lot of food because I like that feeling. And I would say, like, I think if someone was on the outside looking in, they would say that that's maybe not the healthiest, you know, mindset to have or the healthiest diet they've ever seen. And I wouldn't even argue with him because
but what's unhealthy about it? You're clearly not gaining weight.
Yeah.
And if you are, I've seen pictures of you. If you are, you're putting on muscle.
Mm.
It's not. And the ratio, you know, a lot of people who are so hell bent on gaining muscle are also getting fat. I don't see that in you. So I don't see what's unhealthy about that.
Yeah. And that's honestly how I feel as well. And so, yeah, I think that is a good question. Like, what is healthy? Because everyone is going to have a different interpretation of that, right? And like some people want to eat 5 meals a day, and that's fine. Personally, for me, that's not something that sounds interesting, right? And so the philosophy I have now with food and nutrition, it's funny because these are all things that I haven't really given much thought to. And so I'm like coming up with it right now. But like, I honestly just, I just do good enough. That's how I feel. Like this is not something I've made up. Everyone's heard this, right? I don't let perfect get in the way of good enough. Like I know my diet's not going to be quote unquote perfect, which what does that even mean? Again, that's an argument, or that's a conversation that I think could take forever, right? I think it could be never ending. But I understand that, like, if someone saw this on the outside, they could have, I think part of it is my brain has been messed up by the fact that I've been doing this for so long, like on social media. And so everything I've done has had people saying, you should do this, or why don't you do this? You should try this. That's a stupid decision. You should. And so I'm always almost thinking, what's someone going to say? And then I immediately, instead of answering the question, and you've probably noticed this, instead of answering the question just with an answer, I like go off on tangents trying to answer what other people are going to say about my answer. But so I basically just, I just do good enough. That's how I think of it. I don't obsess over being perfect, because that is something that is impossible to chase. It's something that you're never going to find. And even if I did have the perfect diet, how many things would I have to sacrifice that I enjoy doing to find it? And
but what's perfect? If exactly, perfect, if you want to maintain your weight, perfect is whatever does that. If you're not miserable, then I think like there's a version where good enough is also perfect at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I guess it all depends on what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Like, I think, like I always say, like there are ways that I could be better at my nutrition that would probably help with my athletic endeavors, things that I'm enjoying at the time. Like right now, I'm really enjoying running a lot. I just recently got into tennis, which has been very fun. That's like the whitest thing I've ever said, but
I haven't seen that. I remember CrossFit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was there for the transition to running, and I was like, wow, this guy's fucking killing it.
Yeah. So like there are certain things that I could probably do that would maybe make those things a little bit easier. But also, I'm not trying to win the New York Marathon. I'm not trying to go to Wimbledon. I'm just trying to enjoy being able to move this body in a fun way, and in a way that is just enjoyable to me, because I think about the kid that when I was in high school and tried out for football, that they used to do a lap around the field, and they would put all the linemen in the front and everyone else that was faster than you behind you to try and motivate you to run. And I couldn't even make it around I couldn't do a single lap. Right. And so I was that kid for so, like, that was my whole adolescence, was feeling so incapable of doing anything, that now, like, when I go on a run or when I play tennis poorly, but when I do those things, I am so appreciative of it. And like the thought of like, oh, I could be better, is it's just not something that is going through my head, because I'm just so thankful that I can do it, you know. And that's not to say that I'm not trying to improve. Like, yeah, I obviously do this stuff to try and get better, but I'm not going to sacrifice everything else to become the number one, you know, to be as good as physically possible. That's just not, for me, why I do the things that I do.
Yeah. I think that's a perfectly rational way to present it too, because I think most people are going to need some leeway. You know what I mean? I was obsessed for a minute with bodybuilding and this idea of like needing to have such a crazy physique. And I got there and was like, this is gone. This version of me is gone today.
Yeah.
You know, I gained 9 pounds just refeeding for the photo shoot. And then that was it. I never was that weight again. Yeah. And it's like, that was so much work. And it was like, you know, the versions of diets you do that are extreme, where you're like, I can do this for a month or 3 months, but I can't do it a day longer than that. And the relapse is super scary. And then as far as bodybuilding goes, the idea of a guy like me trying to put on muscle, there's a few things running through my head. Like, I want to tighten up some of my loose skin. I'm never going to build that much muscle. Not possible. Yeah. Truly, I would be like 1,000 pounds of muscle to feel that.
So people say that to me, and I'm like, I would literally have to be like Mr. Olympia.
Yeah, so
like,
it's just not possible. Yeah. And so that's not really realistic. And then I go like, how much fucking muscle do I need? I'm a pretty big guy. You know what I mean? I'm still clinically overweight. What am I trying to do here? And, you know, I'm a sober person. And so I do have to have some guardrails with food that are similar or analogous to drugs and alcohol, where there's no abstinence, but like, I don't eat McDonald's. I just don't, that's not a thing for me. And, and like I could, I did once go and have my kid said In-N-Out had the best fries. And I was like, you're fucking crazy. McDonald's fries are way better, and drove her. And this was in the last 5 years. And we had a small bag of fries. We each had a few of them and then threw them away. And I felt dirty. It felt like I shouldn't have done this. But like In-N-Out's fries, if I had a handful of those, it's not as bad. Like, it's just, it's slightly irrational.
No, I get it 100%. I get it 100%.
Yeah, but that's me. And there's going to be other people, but there's got to, you got to find a life. And I think like the whole story you told, like, do you think the way you kind of discovered things step by step was almost cosmically divine in a way that, like, I'm saying, if you had all that data on day one and tried to follow, I know it's led you into a life of like, I don't want to say autopilot, conscious autopilot or thoughtful autopilot. But do you think you succeed on day one computing everything you learned?
0% chance. I think that that's one of the things that's really tough with the day and age that we are in, is there's so much information out there that people struggle with. You know, this has been a term, paralysis by analysis. There's too much information to where you feel like to start, you have to be perfect at the start, right?
Yeah.
And that is just, that is a recipe for failure, in my opinion, because you're not going to be perfect. And like, you're not supposed to be at the start. If you're coming from where I was, which is, I think, a very similar thing that a lot of people are in that position. If you're coming from that, even if you tried to eat what I do now, which is not like the most, you know, the pinnacle of health or whatever, it would still be too difficult. Right. And so I think that taking those small steps, you know, we've all seen those pictures of like the little, you know, the infographics of like taking the steps and just slowly chipping away at it. That's the way to do it. Instead of like trying to look at this wall and figure out how I'm going to learn how to wall run so I can get on. Like, it's just not going to happen. Like, maybe there's going to be that one freak person that can do it, but like the vast majority of people, it'd be easier to take the stairs, you know, like just small steps at a time, or even maybe an elevator, you know, like,
yeah,
just like make it. I always say, like, make it as easy for yourself as you can while still obviously challenging yourself, because the easiest thing to do is to not change, obviously, right? So this is something that I struggle with, because I think especially I'm not trying to call anyone out, but in this space of the fitness and wellness space, a lot of people are, I feel, overly rely on like this motivational, like just push through it. And I understand where that's coming from, but I think that focusing on small, like digestible changes over time, where you are learning. And another thing that's important is all of these things you have to reflect on. And I'm not saying you don't have to sit and write a journal. That's never been something that I've done, but just reflect on, like, just think about why did that work for me? Why am I able to do this? And then just slowly chip away at it. And for me, that helped a lot, because I was able to see some results, learn, figure out why is this working, and then build on top of that, right? So like, you know, think about a pyramid. I was able to build that base, and then I went and tried to build and build and build until I got to that peak, right? And the way I see it is like, it's a never ending thing. And when I talk about that stuff, I feel like it can sound kind of daunting if you haven't started, but it's like, I've gotten to a point where the process of the building is what I enjoy doing. And so it's,
but I completely agree with you. I know it sounds daunting. Mm-hmm. I also know, I know if I woke up tomorrow, 500 pounds, I would be so anxious. And I'm sure I don't even like follow my own advice necessarily and go like, I'm going to do this really slowly. Yeah. You know, I go like, give me a liquid diet or something. Yeah. I understand that. But like your foundation, beginning with your common sense thing, just moving soda out of it. That's like, that could be, and anything we know how to do, like really, really well, we didn't learn or figure that out overnight. You know, mm-hmm. you didn't just, you know, the first time your mom said, put your shoes on, you didn't know how to tie them. It took time. Brushing mm-hmm. your teeth, making a habit of that took time. All of these things, learning to drive a car. And then I'm sure there's a handful of savants who, you know, didn't need lessons and just knew how to do everything and could play Beethoven on the piano. And it's like, okay, well, we're not them. We're yeah. the rest of the populace. Mm-hmm. But yeah. but it takes time. It is so hard. I think that's the hardest part. Like, maintenance is very hard, but also like the letting go of the need to have everything happened at once.
Yeah, it really is a good point what you said. Like, if I were, and it's, I feel the same way. Like, if I were to wake up and I was at my heaviest weight, I can almost guarantee there's no chance that I would do everything that I've said. And so right. I want to make that, like, that's a very good point, because I understand what it's like to be starting. And I share this information because I'm trying to get you the best information possible. Do I think you're going to listen to everything? No, of course not. And I personally wouldn't even say, like, don't go out and try to be perfect or whatever. It's more so, if you've tried that and it hasn't worked, maybe try this instead, kind of thing, right? Because who knows? Maybe you are the person that can just bam, you do it and it works. Yeah. And so I'm not gonna sit here and say, don't give it a shot. Like, if that's something you want to do, by all means. But if it doesn't work out for you, here are some other alternatives, right? And that's like that's basically like the information that I try to share, like the stuff that I try and say in my videos or whatever, is to help that person that has tried a lot of diets, right? Because, like, I mean, I'm always really interested in your story, because you were not exactly the same as me, where you did have times where you lost a significant amount of weight and then, like,
multiple.
Yeah. And so I know this is your podcast and you should be asking a question, but, like, this is just something that I'm so interested in. Like, when you were, you know, going through maybe the regain phase, were like, what would go through your mind? And I ask because I don't mean this in a way that's like I'm better than, but I've never had that yeah. feeling. Like, what is, you know, what's going through your mind? Like, how are you, I don't want to say rationalizing it, but how are you living the day to day of regaining some of that weight back?
The easiest example was when I, like, 2012 or 2011, I was doing 8 hours a day of cardio and truly starving myself. And that's the thinnest I ever got. I got to just about 200 pounds. And I would get on my bike in the morning. I was out of work. My Name Is Earl had just ended in 2009. So this began like early 2010. And by 2011, I was in France for the Tour de France, riding every stage of that bicycle race. And like, I was obsessed. And I would, yeah. my diet was, I'm only really eating while I'm riding the bike. So it's like a lot of bars and gels and some protein drinks. And then at night I would have something called Carbo Light, which I don't even know if that exists anymore. It's like low carb frozen yogurt. And I knew really nothing about nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And then my wife said, like, you have to go find a job. Like, you can't, this is crazy. You've done this for almost 2 years, go work. And I had a bad bike accident, and this all kind of came together where I just kind of was like, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'll start lifting weights. I started lifting weights, and I just, you know, it was as mindless as any other time. It was as like unconscious, where I then woke up again at 400 pounds going, like, it wasn't, it is interesting because I do, you know, there's this, either you see it a lot in social media where it's like they did this to themselves or you know, this idea that you're knowingly doing something. I wasn't. It was very much subconscious. And then I do think getting out of it, it takes personal responsibility and takes that intention and kind of, you have to knowingly get out of it. I don't know a lot of people who just didn't think about it either way, gained a bunch of weight and then lost a bunch of weight.
Yeah,
But there wasn't, it wasn't like every time I sat down to eat, I knew I was making a bad decision. That wasn't a factor at all. I can't remember once going like, I'm going to eat this food and I know I'm going to gain weight and I don't care. It really wasn't that. It was just like the guardrails left.
Yeah.
I'm not dieting anymore. It was too exhausting, but I was, you know, I was doing something that was truly not sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The best like story I have of something kind of similar was I had, it was when Netflix was like relatively new-ish still. And there was this documentary about this guy. I don't want to use the name of the documentary. I'm not trying to talk about the documentary, but it was this guy that was, he juiced, he only drank juice and he lost a lot of weight. Right. And I remember I watched that and this was like, you know, I was a teenager at the time and I wanted to lose weight like so bad. Like it was literally like I was the person that like, if you asked me if you could get a genie and they could only give you one wish, what would it be? I would have wished to not be fat anymore. Like that's how much I used to dream literally about being thin.
Yeah.
And so I remember I watched this documentary and this guy had lost a significant amount of weight and just through juicing. And I thought to myself, okay, well, I can't afford a juicer, so I will just only eat fruits and vegetables, right? And I was able to do that for, I don't know, maybe about, I think I did it for about 2 weeks. And then after the 2 weeks, I started like, I would have my friends, whenever they would go to a Mexican food place here, they would get these things called hot carrots, which are carrots that are like soaked in like different salsas and stuff. And I would start eating those because I was like, I can't just like, I need flavor, right? But then eventually I was doing it with a friend of mine and he was over it. He couldn't do it anymore, right? He was also a pretty overweight guy and he was like, I can't do it. And then he was like, I'm going to go to Hometown Buffet. And I was like, well, if you're quitting, I have to quit as well, right? And so we go to Hometown Buffet and it's interesting because it was like the opposite of what you've explained. I was sitting there and I felt so, it was such a crazy feeling. I felt so much guilt, but also so much like euphoria and excitement. I'm not exaggerating, sitting at this booth, sweating so much. And it's not hot in this place at all. I had napkins. I was wiping myself. I don't know what was going on, but we ate so much food. Yeah. And like, that's, again, I had lost maybe 10 pounds like, and then gained it probably all back right there, you know, probably a lot of it water, but still like that was like, that's like my experience with it, you know, smaller. But.
Yeah. Listen, if I'm going to go back and like try to thoroughly pick it apart, I didn't have a moment like that, but I am sure there was a moment where whatever it was, like I at the time, 2011, 12, I was like, carbs are bad, right? Yeah. If I'm doing fucking 8 hours of cardio a day and I really believed carbs were bad for me. And so I'm sure it went like, well, you know, beets are high in carbs. So I wasn't even eating beets. And then it was probably like, well, I'm just going to eat beets and then I'm just going to eat potatoes and then I'm just going to eat rice. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, and it built and it built and it built. And so it wasn't, I think if I had had a Hometown Buffet experience, I would remember it. Like, that's a great memory, yeah. You know, but I think mine was one of those things that crept up on me. So it was almost like blind, or I occluded it from this one single period to when, you know, 2015, I was 400 pounds again. Like it didn't take long at all. And I was still working out. I went to the gym 4 days a week and lifted weights, but I was just eating everything in sight.
And I think that's interesting because that's still like, yes, that was obviously I guess you could call it a slip up if you want, but also that led you to where you are now. And like, you did continue to lift weights. So that wasn't a complete like failure, right? Like, because now where you are, I mean, it seems like you're in a much healthier spot. And it's almost like, that's why I never, like, all of these things that I've talked about in the past and like these slip ups or whatever, I'm never like really upset about them because they led me to where, and I know it's the cheesiest thing ever, but they led me to where I am now.
Yeah.
And so, and it's helped me, like, that's why I always try and say, like, you know, I'm not saying you can't go out and try these things that I say maybe aren't the best things to do, by all means do it. But it's like, I also feel a sense of almost obligation to, if I feel like that was a thing that maybe wasn't the best for me, like, hey, this is what happened to me. This is why I'm not a huge fan of XYZ. Like everything that I talk about where I'm like, hey, maybe don't do this. It's not just because I'm like, oh, I'm always right. And I know it's like, no, I tried it and this is what happened to me. And again, you know, you could call that anecdotal. That's fine. But I also try and look at like the science and all that stuff, you know, but I'm like, yeah, that's what happened to me. So that's why I don't think it's the best thing to do.
Yeah. For me, I try to not have regret about anything. There is some part of me that gets nagged by the amount of time I spent really believing that carbohydrates were poison or that I couldn't lose weight unless I stopped eating carbohydrates. That was the thing that I just was so wholeheartedly, dogmatically affixed to, that even when I'd stop losing weight and have to basically like starve myself while doing keto, I was still like, no, I'm allergic to carbohydrates. I can't have them. And that's the one thing I look back on and go, I wish I had learned that earlier on. So, you know, okay. And it's not to knock people who do keto. If you do keto and you like it and you're happy, that's great. It was not getting me to where I wanted to be.
So another question, what was, you know, you obviously had a period of your life where carbs were the devil, right? They were the evil, this evil thing. How was that transition? Was there in like an aha moment where you were like, oh, it's, you know, it's not, or was it a slow changeover? Like, how did you go from, because I asked this because I know there, and I'm sure you know, there are a lot of people that are stuck in that type of thinking that you were in, that, you know, if they like being there, that's fine. But there are a lot of people that don't like it, right? They feel like they feel like carbs are evil, and that makes them very sad and like it bums them out. And so how was that for you kind of getting out of that?
Yeah, I got to 315 and I was just stalled and I was meticulous. There would be days where I was like, well, let me try eating no broccoli today instead of my one cup of broccoli. And that would be the only carb I would have. I cut dairy out of my diet because of the trace amounts of carbs that were in dairy, and still not losing weight. And then I was like, okay, well, I just have to be hungry. So I'm going to just cut all of my meals in half. And then I was hungry and I was losing weight. And then, you know, the aha moment was like, well, if I'm just hungry, let me see what it's like to eat stuff that makes me feel good, that I prefer to just chicken thighs, and see how that goes if I actually count calories. And then I started counting calories and the weight just steadily came off. When I went on to calories and really was diligent with calories, the weight just, it never stopped. As long as I adjusted for weight loss, it never stopped. And then when I took a maintenance period, that was the hardest thing I've ever done. But I understood like, oh no, this is my school for when the diet's over. Mm-hmm. This is how I learn to live. And that's when I was like, oh, I can count macros. I want protein. I didn't really care about my fats and carbs as much. I just was like, I want to get this much protein. I want to retain muscle mass. And, you know, I still today am bummed if I get on the scale and it's not lower.
Of course. I understand that.
I'm not trying to lose weight. If it's not lower, I'm bummed. And that's just my own cognitive dissonance.
That's such a good point. It's funny that you said that, because I was literally, that's what I was about to start like ask about and kind of talk about, was this feeling of being at your lowest weight. I feel like this is another thing that is important for people that are transitioning out of weight loss to trying to transition into maintenance. Like, I think one of the biggest detriments to people being successful is this insistence on being at the lowest weight possible.
Right. Yeah.
Like, because
that's why you say don't let perfect get in the way of pretty good.
Yeah. Like, it's like, if people always ask me, how do I lose the last 5 pounds? I need to lose the last 10 pounds. My answer almost always is, do you need to be at this lowest weight? Because for me, I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with having like a goal weight range or whatever. But I remember I used to think, man, I'd love to get down to 180 pounds. And I did get down to 180 pounds when I stepped on stage. And that was there's literally no shot that I would be able to maintain that. But what I say to people is, imagine if in my brain, I thought that 180 pounds is the weight, that's always the weight, and that's the weight I need to be at. I would constantly feel like a failure. Yeah. My natural weight is probably 215. So I'd be, 35 pounds over it constantly? I'd feel so, and think I would always be trying to get down to that weight. So I'd always be under eating, most likely, doing over exercising. It would be a miserable life, and just one that I guarantee I would not be able to stick to. And then that's when people fall off, and then they just keep going. Right. And the weight keeps coming on. That's why I was like, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be at a certain weight. I'm not going to shame anyone for that. But I always say, like, just take a step back and think to yourself, is this last 5 pounds really that important? And how do you transition out of being the lowest? Because it is very difficult. Like you brought up in maintenance, not seeing the weight go down. It's a really weird, like, especially if you're losing a lot of weight, that's going to take a year or more. You become so accustomed to every week, if things are going well, that weight goes down and it goes down. And that's like, it's hard not to almost tie your self-worth or tie your identity to number goes down, I do good. Like, I'm happy with myself, right? It's just hard not to tie yourself to that. And so that's why I always, like, if I'm working with someone or just am talking to them, and they're like, I can tell they're kind of at that tail end of like, I don't really know what to do anymore, is like, just always just be ready, because eventually if you are successful in your weight loss, you're going to get to a point where you don't need to lose weight anymore. It's just like, you can only lose so much, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why I think it's just so important. And I don't think that there's a specific answer for each person. It's going to be different, but I just think being aware of the fact that you are going to get to a point where you're not going to need to lose weight anymore. That might sound like, well, obviously, but I'm telling you, man, when you're going through a year plus of losing weight, you get lost in the sauce, man. Like, you just, that becomes who you are. And the thought of it not going down anymore is like, it's hard to fathom it, you know?
One of my kids just had this experience, not too long ago, where she graduated from junior high. So I guess it was a bit ago, because she's now a senior in high school.
Years fly by, I get it.
The years fly by, but she had this big project that she had to do, and it was all kind of wrapped up in the end of junior high. And there was this, like, it was very meaningful for her. And for the year, she crushed herself to do this project and had her sights set on it. And when she finished, she got really, really depressed, because there was no, she was like, I was expecting, like,
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
to feel like insane and like all this stuff that I was expecting to come along with this, nothing's changed. And now I don't know what I'm doing. And now I have nothing. Like, she had no further motivation to do anything. And she was like really upset. The same thing has happened to me every time I've ever hit a weight I wanted to hit.
Yep.
It doesn't feel good. I don't feel done. I'm not satisfied. I don't love the way I look. I have problems. And when it's really hard and I then gain weight, it's fucking crippling. It's crippling. I got to what I thought I've looked the best that I've ever looked. And that day gained 9 pounds and honestly had pictures taken of me 9 pounds heavier. And you couldn't tell from how I looked in the mirror at my house that morning, you know, when I just woke up, to the 9 pounds, it all filled my muscles up and probably made me look better. But the fact that I knew I was 9 pounds heavier fucked me up, dude.
Yep. Yep. 100%, man. And like, the thing that's hard is like, I don't think that there is a specific answer for everyone of how to like wrestle with those feelings.
Yeah.
I think what has helped me, I can only speak for myself, is finding other things to find enjoyment out of. And so like the different athletic endeavors that I've done, you know, like running, I did a triathlon, you know, just, or even tennis. Like I'm not at all good, but it's like finding enjoyment of like just getting better has replaced that feeling of my weight being the most important thing. And I think, again, it's one of those things that it sadly will just take time, because there was many years where my weight was the most important thing. Like if you asked me, how much did you weigh this morning? I could have told you, you know, I don't know how much I weigh right now. I haven't weighed myself in a while. You know, right. I don't know, but I do. The thing is I still weigh myself relatively frequently, like more than someone that doesn't do it ever. Right. I'll weigh myself maybe once a week or something like that, just to make sure I'm not like, what is it? The emu that's sticking my head in the sand and being like, I don't, you know, I think that is a really important thing. Like if you start to notice yourself, like not weighing yourself at all, or at least, say, if you don't want to, I know a lot of people don't like the scale, but like if you're not monitoring that at all, usually that's not the best sign. Right. But like, you know, I still monitor myself a little bit, but my weight, or just even my physique, it is not the most important thing to me. Like yeah. I lift a lot less than I was. Like I used to lift 6 days a week. Like sometimes I would do 2-a-days. It was because I really did enjoy it and it was a lot of fun for me. But again, like my interests have changed, but also I still do lift. It's not the most important thing to me. And yeah. Everyone's journey of how they get there, I think, is going to be different. But I do feel like the people that are successful in keeping weight off long term, their weight and physique, I don't want to say it doesn't become important, but it like takes a backseat. Like it's still in the car, right? It's still along on the ride, but it's not driving the car anymore, right? There might be something else that those things might change, right? There might be different drivers every once in a while. But I just don't think that like people stay successful by being constantly obsessed over it. And I say that because I don't think there's anything wrong with being obsessed for a bit, because I do think that, especially if you're coming from, you know, where I think both of us came from, you have to be.
Yeah.
Because you ran him over with the car before, you know what I mean? You need to get him back in there, take some care of him. But eventually you need to let him not be the main driver. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if that metaphor made any sense, but
no, I like that metaphor. I like that metaphor. And I think you are out there preaching a great message, John. And, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for doing this. And I think this will be a wonderful conversation to send people into the new year with.
Thank you. I thank you for having me again. Number three, I am honored.
Truly. Well, I can't wait for number four. Thank you.
Yes.
And now for the Q&A.
Here's a question from Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan.
He says, hello, Ethan. First off, I'm a huge fan of your work in film and TV.
Thanks, dude.
I'm 23 and I've struggled with my weight for pretty much my whole life. Nothing seems to really work, but I did manage to get around 25 pounds off from last year and I'm currently at 297. He says, do you have any tips? I always fall back into a rut and I get a bit envious when I see all the people I know be successful. It can suck, honestly. I just want to experience all the pleasures and fun like everyone else at my age.
Oh, yeah. This is heavy. So, yeah, what I would say is I had trouble for a long time having very specific goals. Like, I'm going to lose 100 pounds, or I'm going to get down to this size pants, or, you know, I'm going to lose 300 pounds, whatever. I want to get to 210 pounds, because I was never happy with any of those goals. I never got to any of those goals and was like, fucking did it. And this is awesome. And now I'm just going to maintain this forever. That just never happened. I was always kind of like, I need to do more. This isn't what I thought it would be. And so I kind of, you know, I like goals. I think goals are good. Having goals, I think that the goal for me today is improving every day. So the finish line for that is death. Mm. There's no, I got 100 pounds off and that's the finish line. The finish line for me is the rest of my life. And so if you kind of can't figure out how to find something that will work forever, it's kind of going to be this back and forth, up and down struggle, which sucks, because I find for me that when I'm in the kind of absent-minded gaining weight phase, I'm not really paying attention to life like I am when I then wake up and go like, oh my God, I've regained all my weight. I'm depressed. I'm humiliated. I feel shame. And now I have all this work again that I've done now for the fourth time. And I'm going to have to just start over. And it's miserable. So I'm not really into like goals of a specific. Now, listen, sometimes I have short-term goals where it's like, I want to take a photo and I maybe want to get a little bit leaner for that. So that's a goal, but I never lose sight of the fact that I want to improve every day for the rest of my life. So this situation that I'm in has no end. The end is the end of my life. I am constantly going to be dealing with this. I don't foresee a day where I don't wake up or drive by McDonald's and have the thought of like, you know, two Big Macs, a 9-piece chicken nuggets, a large fries, that would be good. I would enjoy eating that. That's not going to happen. So it gets less, that voice gets less, and the decisions that I believe are productive and constructive for my life and improvement get easier to make. The more momentum you get in making them, the more inertia you have. But like, you know, kind of got to figure out a way that it all works together. So you're on this path, you're enjoying life at your age, and you realize that it's like a forever path. It's not a path of 2 months, because you're going to relive those 2 months over and over again. And if those are two like really miserably hard, awful months, why do you want to set yourself up to live those 2 months over and over again? Find a path that is like, this is my path for the rest of my life, and I'm okay with it. That's the other key. Like, you got to be okay with it, because if you're not, life fucking sucks, right? Who wants that?
Yeah.
You're going to find, like, if there's nothing pleasurable about walking on hot coals, some people walk on hot coals. I see nothing pleasurable about walking on hot. First of all, I have flat feet. I don't know what it's called, but I have some condition. If I step on kernel of rice, it's as though I've been shot in the foot. Like, I'll jump. Like, I just have terrible feet. So the idea of walking on hot coals to me is like the worst thing anybody could do. But some people like doing it. Are they going to do that forever? Or is it like, no, you walk 10 feet and then you're done? This, what we're talking about, is like a forever deal. You know,
yeah.
We're figuring out how to construct our lives so that this condition is maybe not no longer present, but as tampered as possible. It's as reduced as possible. And that's going to take effort forever. But I'll tell you what, the effort of your life today will be less in the long term if you start actively working at it. And that's the trade-off, right? Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more effort today, but if you look at the totality of your life, it's so much less effort because the amount of effort it takes today will reduce every day by a little bit. And then you'll get to a life where just maintaining it requires effort too, but it's nothing even compared to just living life today.
Right.
Just living life today is harder than maintaining this, you know, this improved state.
That's awesome. Suggestion. I love it. I'm so lucky I get to hear you say all this. I just want to say, because that's everything you say is very helpful to me too. So thank you for that.
Thanks, John Paige.
I really mean it. Jonathan, we hear you. Thank you for asking and let us know how you do. And Ethan, thank you for that. That's really, 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 really inspirational, actually. If anyone else has a question that they would like Ethan to answer, you can email us on the website. It's hello@americanglutton.net.
Thanks for listening to this episode of American Glutton. I'm Ethan Suplee. You can follow us on Instagram @American Glutton Podcast. Sincerely.